One of the coolest stories this week was the landing of the Rosetta mission probe. Have you all followed that on the news? They sent a probe from this planet to meet a comet 300 million miles away. To quote the Wall Street Journal, the landing, first envisaged more than 20 years ago, marks the crowning moment of Rosetta's decade-long cruise through the solar system to get up close and personal with the comet. During its 4 billion-mile journey on a track to meet the comet, Rosetta bounced around the inner solar system like a cosmic billiard ball, encircling the sun almost four times, unquote. To accomplish this remarkable feat, it required outrageous calculations to hit this rock moving so fast, so far away. It required vision and investment and risk. It is powered by the sun. One of the challenges of the landing was that this comet has very little gravity to it. So as it landed, the plan was for it, the probe, Philae, was to fire harpoons into the solid rock to anchor it to the comet. Otherwise, it would bounce and float away, which is exactly what happened. It bounced several times before it came to rest. As I was thinking about this challenging text that we have this morning, this story came to mind. As Jesus talks about faithful Christian living, I think faithful Christian living is like landing on that comet. We have to do some outrageous calculations to read it. We need to invest, to risk. We need to anchor ourselves to it, or we drift and bounce away. And we need power. That leads us to this morning's text. This morning's story, verses from Jesus, are a little short on grace, I would say. I don't think any story that ends with gnashed teeth is overflowing with grace. What do you think? The master is a hard man, a harsh master by his own admission. And yet, the lectionary leads us here. Now, I didn't choose this text to preach on, folks. It's the schedule of readings. I could have avoided it if I really wanted to, but we got to have some courage, right? I noticed a couple of things. We wrestled with it in Bible study this week, took it, looked at it from different angles. This is my shot at it. I noticed two things that stood out to me from this story. First of all, is we tend to gloss over the beginning. How miraculous is it when the master leaves? He leaves, and what does it do, the story says? You can say, you're Presbyterian, a lot of you are Presbyterians, you can still say it. What does he do? He gives them his money. And it's a lot of money. The valuable coin, what is traditionally translated as a talent, is worth 15 to 20 years of an ordinary worker's wage. So we're talking about a lot of money here. And he gives it to his servants. He doesn't sign a contract with them. He doesn't tell them where to invest or how to invest it. He merely says, here's my money. See ya. His servants are free. They are free to choose to do with it as they will. I skipped reading. The text from Paul's Gospel, it's printed in your bulletin. Paul, the apostle, reflects in those few verses from Galatians about Christian freedom. And he says to those who are given the gift of freedom, of life from God, he says, you are free to do whatever you want, but that doesn't mean that you should do whatever you want. Because you are not only set free from something, you are set free for something, for a life of love. We have the freedom to love in Jesus Christ. We are free to choose to risk loving like God loves and like Jesus loves. The second thing that I noticed about the story is the path that each of these servants took. The first two put their master's money right out there. They invested it, they risked, they let go of it, they put it out there to see what it could do, and they were blessed. The last one, however, what does it say about that last servant? How did he feel when he got his one talent? Afraid. I believe that this is a story of risk versus fear. This is a story that opposes living a life that is willing to invest, that is willing to risk using the gifts that God gives us to use, versus a way of living that is anxious, that hoards, that is afraid, that buries. This text is not about money. It is about what we do with the gifts of life that God gives to us. This text is in the section of teaching that deals with end times, with urgent times. It tells us it asks us what the church will do after Jesus leaves and before Christ returns. When Jesus comes back, all things will be set right. Tears will be wiped away. Death will be no more. But until that time, we are waiting. And times are urgent. The Master has gone away. He's given us wonderful gifts. The disciples themselves got to live with Jesus. What more of a gift is there than that? These words challenge the disciples who will soon be without their master. It encourages them, yes, and even it still instills in them a little fear of God. It tells them and challenges them not to squander the opportunity. Not to squander the opportunity to let the wisdom, peace, and love Jesus has given them, not to let them allow these gifts to change the world. If you are afraid to risk and invest them yourselves, says the Master, at least give them to someone else to use and get some interest back while they invest it to work for the kingdom. These gifts of life are too precious to bury or hoard. As a very quick aside, those of us who wish that Jesus had been a little bit more gracious here, for those of us who wish Jesus would have said to this last servant, "Oh, that's okay, I forgive you, do your best next time." Think about it for a moment. If the Master would have said this, it would have changed the whole story. It would have been a story about grace instead of a story about the urgency of giving and risking. There are other stories of grace, plenty of them. But Matthew's Jesus wants us to be sure that we know that this is a story about the urgency of ministry. The time is here and the need is now. And we can't afford to bury our valuable coins. This morning, the story is about what we do with the precious gifts of life that God has given to us. They are too precious to hoard. The creation is groaning. Stomachs are empty. Souls are searching. Peoples and nations are fighting. The political system is broken. Individuals are lonely. The Prince of Peace, the Son of God, is calling. He's left on a trip. He's vacationing in the Bahamas where it's warm. I'm just seeing where if you're listening there, just checking. He probably is in the Bahamas, but he's here too, we believe. But he has left for us a ministry to discover and pursue. Think of the freedom that God has given to us through the gifts that we have. We can choose to risk or fear. Jesus encourages us, risk for the kingdom. Invest in the ministry of Christ and you will get returns. It may not be personal financial returns. It may not be in terms of prestige or honor or fame. In fact, sometimes your return involves a cross. But let go and risk anyway, Jesus says, because the returns come in lives touched, including your own. When you risk and let go, you grow in freedom. You grow in a deeper peace. You grow in the ability to enjoy and focus on the things that are truly important as you grow in your willingness to let go of the things that make us anxious. I said a little earlier that this text is not about money. Actually, it is about money, in part. It's about money because for many of us, money is one of the main things that makes us anxious, that makes us afraid. When we get it, no matter how much it may be, we fear losing it, and often we bury it or use it or hoard it merely for our self-interest, which is like burying it and hiding it from God. But Jesus reminds us that the money we receive comes from the Master, who places it in our charge and encourages us to risk for the kingdom. Give to God and to God first. Risk trusting in faith, and life will flow, good and faithful servants. If you happen to be one of those who have a little in terms of finances, you are not called to give a lot. If you are struggling financially, Jesus doesn't want you to struggle even more. The number doesn't matter. Giving to God is not about guilt or duty. Giving to God first is a statement about what you believe, and it is a statement of hope and faith. It is about faithful risk for God's kingdom. This risk anchors us to faithful life. You don't have to bury what you have in fear. If you are one of those who is financially blessed, the story is a little different. Not to us, but for you and for God, the number does matter. Jesus gave freely to those who were in need, but like the rich young man who comes to Jesus for wisdom, from those who have plenty, Jesus asked much. He did so because God gives us our resources for love, for concrete love of God, and love of neighbor as we love ourselves. And our faith asks us the question, where do we place our trust? Giving to God, again, is not about guilt or duty. Giving to God first is a statement of what we believe. It is a statement of hope and faith. It is a statement about where we place our trust. It is about faithful risk for God's kingdom. And this risk is the harpoon that anchors us to faithful life. No matter what our resources might be for the person of faith, our financial situations don't have to exercise power over our lives. We don't have to bounce around space. May our giving and spending reflect our values. May they stand for the love of God. This story is about more than money, too. It's about commitment to Jesus and to a body of believers that are following Jesus together. There is something about committing ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our time, our efforts for the long haul. Even when things look risky, even when things are less than ideal, there is something about this commitment to each other and to God that brings life. We here at FPC are far from perfect. I know that's news for you. We are not more holy than anyone else. If you happen to find the perfect church, let me know. I'll apply for membership in a second. Even though I know that if they want to stay perfect, they certainly won't let me in. And truth be told, any of you either. Am I going to get in trouble for that? Anybody want to raise their hand and say they're perfect? Thank God our faith is based on faith. Our faith is based on grace. For us presbies, and when I say presbies, I mean members and friends of this congregation, occasional attenders, new folks, and veteran FPCers. This is a self-selected category. If you consider us in any way your church, then this is for you. For us presbies, in some ways, it's been a tough year. And in some ways, it's been a wondrous year. In my view, we have risked and invested in the ministry of Jesus Christ. We stand firm in this commitment, and we risk because we believe this is the ministry that Jesus lived. We believe in this risk. We anchor in this risk. We anchor ourselves to the rock. To be honest, to some extent, we are struggling financially. But I don't say this with a sense of anxiety or distress. I merely confess. This is an illustration of what can happen when you risk. Risks have costs. And as famous theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer has reminded us, grace is free, but it ain't cheap. I want to reassure those of you who are anxious about our congregation's finances, who are feeling the pull to get out the shovel and start digging out back. I want to reassure you by saying and by inviting us to believe that the financial life of this congregation is in God's hands. And if we step back for a moment, we can see that we have been incredibly blessed if we step back from the moment's crisis. By the end of the year, it looks like we will be free, completely free of the debt from our $1.7 million building renewal completed just a few years ago. We will be able to burn the mortgage. Yesterday, in that renewed room, Bruner Hall, yesterday, that room was packed with God's children, eating and fellowshipping, listening to the awesome bell choir. Look what God has accomplished through you. We will be free from that debt. And the Apostle Paul asks us, what will you do with your freedom? The Master has left us so much. We have so many gifts. Think about loaves and fishes. Think about the alternative gift market where we have a chance to declare that countercultural message that Christmas is about more than stuff. We have the gift of Debbie and Tracy and Lori and Linda who coordinate all of our mission efforts. We have the gift of small groups where you can come and light candles and pray and where you can ask questions, any questions about faith. There is no question out of bounds. We have the gift of being Presbyterian where it's okay to tell the pastors that they have it all wrong and be right. I recognize that in principle, at least. We are given the gift of music that blesses the heart. We have an awesome bell choir who plays with us and around our community. We have Brandon. We have a praise band. We have the awesome gift of Derek, who blesses us with his love and ministry and leadership, and all of you whom his ministry and love touches. I love seeing the energized expression on his face when he talks about the great time he had at youth group meeting the night before. We have the gift of Carol, who drags hoses up and down outside, making this grounds beautiful, while giving the pastor a hard time. James had it right earlier. Where else? What other church can you get your bulletin from Batman? As I got my bulletin, he said, I love giving out tickets. This is fun. That is a wondrous thing. That is the blessing of a life that gives and risks. We have the blessed gift of the Wednesday so-and-sos who make sanitary pads for women and girls on the other side of the world. And we have the gift of deacons like Sherry Wagner and Lou Oakes and Pam Reif and Jean and John Stewart who visit and care for people right here among us. We have the wonderful gift of Veronica's tamales and Terry's eclairs. Oh boy, those are gifts from God, I'll tell you. God has given us a place where we can celebrate the baptism of little Alexandra, making a fresh start to new life. You are God's child now. And we have the gift of a place where we can come and cry and support each other in a time of grief, as we will when we celebrate Marilyn Williams' life, our sister dearly departed. We have these gifts, and God has blessed us abundantly. I could go on and on and on. This has been a wondrous year for us. And the Master has left us with an abundance. I'm not bragging about y'all, but Jesus said, let your light shine. Because when your light shines, that is how we empower each other. It empowers our batteries for daring, adventurous ministry to come. For the Master has not only left us with an abundance, but also with a vision to change and touch lives. The time is here, and the need is now, and we are moving forward. We invite you, will you risk with us, good and faithful servants? For those of you who are visiting from other churches or from other faiths, you might be surprised at hearing talk like this. You see, this morning you are witness to the different hues of our life together, the reds and blues, the yellows and indigo of our life together, the struggles and the blessing of this motley crew of presbies. You probably have your own shades of gray too. May you be encouraged to healthy risk, to love wherever you find yourself. For you newer folks, or for you searching folks, checking us out, I don't want to leave you out. I don't know what you think about all of this talk, but we pray that you leave this place knowing this, that we, to the best of our ability and led by the Spirit of Christ, are investing the gifts of God, the gifts of life that God has shared with us. We want to share these gifts with you. And we hope you feel the welcome discovering, we hope you feel welcome discovering what faithful Christian life looks like with us. We're not the church for everyone, but if you are searching for Jesus, for a connection with a loving God, this is a church we hope where you can risk, where you can make outrageous calculations, where you can fire your harpoons into solid rock, finding a firm foundation for life. On a sad note, Philae, the probe that landed on the comet, has landed in the shade, and it has lost its power. Its batteries are dead. Its mission, I guess it's going to be resurrected every time it gets enough power from the sun. But we, who trust in God and risk for Christ, have power to spare. Because this is a place, as a community of Jesus Christ, where the Son will power ourselves for life. So to us all, let us not get buried. Let us risk loving and finding life. Amen.